was that he saw seven cows coming up out of the river. The river. And he didn't know what to do with it. He had no idea what it meant. He asked the soothsayer, "What does this mean?" None of them could say. But one of the guys that got thrown in jail, in prison, and was either going to live or die, had told them about what they had, the dreams that they had. And guess who interpreted it? It was Joseph. And that guy said, hey, Pharaoh, there was a guy who told us our dreams, a guy that actually can figure out what dreams mean, a guy that actually flows in the stream of interpretation of dreams. I want you to know that the prophetic dreams, visions, interpretations, they are all in this river that are part of you and I, that are in us. They're in us. They're in us. They're not something outside of us. They're in him that's in us. You get that? They're in us. They're in him. And what he's wanting us to do is come and drink of those rivers. He's wanting us to move in a way that we encounter the very things that we see in Scripture. And they become encounters with God. So not only did he interpret the dream, but he also had the divine river wisdom to fix what was going to happen in the seven good and seven bad years of their. God gave him wisdom of how to fix it. And then, in that same river flow, he was promoted. He was promoted in the river from being a slave to being second in command, bringing the first time of his dreams and his river encounter into a place where they were being fulfilled. Moses. When God wanted to deliver his people, he said, "Moses, what do you got in your hand?" By the way, fire is also a symbol of the Holy Ghost. When he met, when he turned off to see the tree that was a burning tree but wasn't burning, he said, "What do you got in your hand, Moses?" "A rod." It was his staff. He said, "Throw it down on the ground." Turned into a snake. He said, "Now I want you to go, and I want you to deliver my people. Take Aaron with you, because I know you don't speak good. But I want you to deliver my people, not by your own hand, but by the river of what I'm doing in you." And so he gets there, and he doesn't get there. He has one more question for God. He says, "God, well, what if my own people won't believe me?" He said, "Well, I'll give you three signs for them. First one, the rod, do that thing. Make a snake, pick it up. Second one, stick your hand in your shirt, pull it out, it's going to be leprous, and then stick it back in, it's not." And then he said, "If they don't believe that, go get and dip from the water of the Nile, of the river, and pour it out and turn into blood." Creative miracles are in the river. Creative miracles are come not from us, but from the river. Then the rest of the creative miracles, the frogs, the dust that turns into gnats, the locust, all those are creative things because there were so many of them. And because they never touched Israel, they only touched Egypt. when Pharaoh finally gave up, and he said, okay, take your animals, your children, and leave. They began to go, and Pharaoh started chasing them. God opened up the Red Sea. You know, a sea is just a bunch of streams, brooks, and rivers running into it. So the Spirit of God in that sea opened it up. And actually, when Pharaoh tried to go through it, the Spirit closed the river so that in the river is our freedom from bondage. The bondage of who, of the stains that the sins we committed, so to speak, the character issues that we have are all freed and delivered by staying in the river, by encountering him in the river, who can actually free you from the bondage of whatever it is. I like the one about David, though. David, you know, here we got some more groupthink going on. Goliath is coming up. He's saying, send me a man. The whole groupthink of Israel's thinking what? I ain't going out there. I ain't going out there. I was reading where just the head of his spear was 15 pounds. That's a big spear. Yeah. That would take a big guy to throw that thing. So David tried, David went up to the king and said, hey, Saul, who's this uncovenanted man that's trying to defy the armies of Israel? And Saul looked at him and laughed. You ruddy, red-faced little kid are going, you've not been trained. And what did he tell him? He said, look, God delivered me from a bear and a lion. And he said, this man has no chance because God, this, and I didn't do that by myself, he said. He said, God delivered me. So he went to the river, and what did he pull out? What's that?
Deliverance.
No, what did he pull out of the river? Five what? Small stones. They're not, they were probably small, but they said smooth. I'm going to tell you, unless you find the river, unless you live in the river. How long were those stones there, Scott? How long do you think?
Long enough to get smooth.
This is that God is trying to tell us that it's not an instantaneous process. He's trying to tell us that if we will stay in the river, what he'll do in us is to smooth out the edges that offend people. He'll fix the things that need to be fixed in us so that we can be a tool in the hand of God. Yeah. David went out and slew him. Said the stone embedded in his forehead. No problem. David knew about the river from the lion and from the bear. He encountered God in those defeats. Encountering God is a must. Nahum, let's go to Nahum. Nahum is a captain in the Syrian army. He is widely respected and honored by the king. The only problem, he has leprosy. And I want you to notice who says this, okay? You never know who God is going to use. you never know how young they'll be, how old they'll be. You never know. And they had just gotten back from pillaging Israel and bringing back captives. And one of the little Israelite ladies that was serving his wife told his wife, he said, "Oh, that your husband would go to the prophet in Israel and he would be healed of his leprosy." He believed it and wasn't even saved, and he believed that. How many people, how many of God's people in Israel at the time were lepers and didn't go to him? Anyway, he took off, he brought some money. He was going to basically, you know, thank him by giving him a gift if he healed him. He gets there, Elisha doesn't even show up. He said, "Just go tell him to wash in the river 7 times. And he got mad. Nahum got mad. He got offended. Anybody ever get offended? He got offended because he wouldn't come out and talk to him. And his servant says, "Hey, you came out to get healed, not to talk." He said, "If it was something big, you would have done it, right?" And they convinced him to go to the river and dip how many times? This is another image of the rocks that David picked up. He wants you to linger, to learn to stay in the river. He wants us to learn that the river has everything that we need in it. There's nothing that you need that isn't fixed by lingering and staying and drinking and learning to be with him in the very secret place of your own heart. Encounters with God. You need to know doctrine, but you need to know encounters with God. Now, when Jesus said, I mean, there's all kinds of other things. I mean, like, just, you know, our own baptism. We go down into the water where we become dead to sin and alive unto Christ as part of the river. Jesus, even though he didn't sin, was baptized, went down into the water, and came up, and the Holy Spirit filled him. This theme that runs through, and I forgot to finish the part in Genesis. Those four rivers, if you look up their names, say this. One means increase, one means bursting forth, one means rapid, one means fullness. You put that in a sentence and it says this. The rapid breaking forth of increasing fruitfulness, which is exactly what it says in Revelation 22:1. So in the beginning there was a river. In the end there's a river. And what God is, and then what does Jesus say? Come. No, he says if. I want to talk to you about this word if. If any man is thirsty. You know, I believe that the word if is one of the major words in the whole Bible. I do. If. What it is it's a mirror that God is holding in front of you to look at yourself and be honest with who you are and where you are. If you are thirsty, if any man thirst. And so what I have to do is when I read that, I have to actually come before, you know, come before God and say, God, am I thirsty? Or am I satisfied with being unsatisfied? If my people will humble themselves and pray, if you abide in me and my word, my rhema, my living word abides in you, then you shall ask anything you want and you'll get it. If the word says that if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. And what I've found is that if I look myself in the mirror and be honest with myself and go to him and ask for either forgiveness or for more, he'll give it to me. So I just want to encourage you today that everything that you need is in the river, in an encounter. What do you want? Where is your heart empty at? What do you need deliverance from? What is it? That lives inside of you that is yet dormant because you've allowed it to be dormant and I've allowed it to be dormant, or because we didn't know. A lot of times we just don't know. I didn't know how to drink. I just didn't know how to drink. I thought everything came from outpourings. Anybody think that? How many people are just looking for outpourings? An outpouring is like going outside with a great big tub and waiting for it to rain. When he says, don't be drunk with wine, but drink large draughts of the Holy Ghost, what he's saying is you don't have to wait for an outpouring. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, those will come. You'll see them now and then, but the main way you're going to find the river is to drink, to learn to drink, to learn to be with me in my presence inside of you so that the river, so that you and I can actually encounter in a tangible way and that you know that I live in you, that you begin to hear what I'm saying about you, that I can speak love and kindness to you, that I can tell you how much I love you, that you ravish my soul, Dan. I mean, I can't tell you how many times you ravish my soul, Dan, is what he said to me. I used to go and just say, God, just embrace me. I used to lay on the floor after worship and just say, embrace me, God. I need to know that you're here, that you live inside of me. I need to know how to connect to you, the living God. And he did it. You know, Timothy back in 2012 said this in one of his words. He said, the only way to live is from God's perspective. What he's doing is taking a people out of the earthly perspective, and he's bringing them into his perspective. Not so much what is coming, but for what is now available through Christ by the Spirit. And I believe that's really what he's doing. He wants us to know. He doesn't want the thief to steal, to get us not to believe just because we don't see it. Yeah. Just because we don't see it, but to still believe, to keep on walking. I remember, John G. Lake. John G. Lake lost 5 or 6 brothers from the same disease. And he got so fed up with it that he sought God to the point where he found it, and he was a great, great, great healing man. He doesn't want to give it. Don't let the enemy steal your perspective about what's available just because you don't win every battle. But keep walking. Keep walking like Joseph did. Through the irons, through the cages, through the jails. Keep walking until the prophetic word that God has over your life comes to fruition and becomes real. And you become part of the healing of the nations that he wants to bring. Amen. I'm done. I guess.
Pray for us. Stand up. Just stand and pray for us. Okay. Pray that stuff over us. Let's stand.
Father, I thank you that you haven't withheld anything from us. Even though we've not known exactly how to get to it at times, or what it does, or how to even pursue it at times, I thank you that you've made it available in you. You've said, come to me. Come to me and drink, and there will be rivers of living water flowing out from you. God, I just pray that over this congregation, Father. I pray that you would put desire in their heart, God. I pray that you would, Lord, hold that mirror of the word if in front of them so that they would see themselves honestly, that they would not settle for anything but the best, that they wouldn't become satisfied with being unsatisfied. But Father, that you would even stir the fire within each one of us, God, that you'd stir your workings of encounter within each one of us, God. We need you. We need you. We cannot do this in the flesh, God. We need your rivers running through us, showing us what's available in the moment. We need your eyes to see the things that you see that you want to do. Lord, we're supposed to walk like Jesus walked. Jesus was the first human being that had the fullness of the Spirit, and that actually showed us everything that was available. You showed us that by the Spirit we can live by like he did. Lord, I just pray that. I just pray that we'd get serious about it. My middle name, Daniel Serious May. Lord, I just pray, God, that people would take this, that you'd take this word and work in people's hearts and lives, right? You would take it, God, and you would cause them to desire in a greater measure all the things that you have for them, who they are in you. That's hid in Christ in God. Your life is hid in Christ. God, that you'd show them who they are. That you'd show them from your perspective why you created them. That you'd let them see a little of the book that you wrote about them even before nothing was formed, God. God, that you'd draw them, God, so that they wouldn't be frustrated with religion and form, but that they would be full of your Holy Spirit, full of your grace to glorify you every day of their life, Father. I just pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Hi, March. You may be seated. She brought her staff. Is that going to turn into a snake or no? I'm just wondering. Okay. I bet you got a song or a poem.
Well, I got something to tap on.
Okay.
Just don't be afraid to invite people even that you think it's out of their comfort zone so they can possibly encounter God. Because the very first time I was in Florida, and we met with these people. We attended First Christian Church, Dave and I, and it was a wonderful gospel, church, just traditional. But we met with neighbors of ours for years and prayed for our neighbors every night, once a week. And so one day they said, instead of just meeting here tonight, there's this evangelist, Leon Van Wooyen, that's going to be over here at this church, and why don't we just go there? And they were a little nervous because, we're just from the Christian church, and they didn't want to, overwhelm us, but, we went, and we were blown away by the presence of God, the fragrance of God, and we were literally, swooning from this fragrance from heaven. And they didn't even smell it. I mean, other people around us were almost swooning, and they were just sitting there. And so it was the first time I really, really ever encountered God. The first time I got slain in the spirit, and I had supernatural energy for 3 weeks. And the rivers, I do think that's why the rivers are so deep in me, because he talked about the rivers, and in those 3 week time when I was supernaturally charged, I had to paint the river. It was just so real to me, and I just thank God for that. So don't be afraid to invite people that you think are out. They wouldn't receive it, because when you get blown away by God, it's like nothing that you've ever seen. And the rivers of God, he's given me at least 5 or 6 songs of his rivers, and they are so deep and the most precious things.
Amen. Thanks, Marge. Amen. It's just the Lord is setting us up. I do believe Dan was speaking some prophetic things, but I just, he said a lot of really, really good stuff. And so I want to give you an opportunity to say, Dan, there's a question. Can you clarify this? What do you mean by this? I just don't want to say, hey, everybody, go and figure this out, although the Holy Spirit can help you. I just want to take a minute and say, what? Either if something was profound, that's great, and you were blessed by it. I was really blessed. Did anybody identify with what he was saying today? Was there not just oh my gosh, this is the journey of American Christendom. You have an encounter, and then you realize that someone wants to tell you that's all there is. And so I just want to say, if there's a question, if there's we just want to be open. We're the family of God, and we don't grow in a corporate sense if we don't have freedom to say, clarify this, or what did he mean by that? If you got it, fine. If you're going to take it back to the Lord, but I just want to say, hey, don't be shy right now if there's something that you need, because this is so important. This is the core of what's going to happen if America's third great awakening is going to transpire like many people are talking about. This has to happen. The Church of America has to understand what it means to be in the river and to not be afraid when things don't go according to our schedule. Things go something strange, different, and peculiar. Biblical history is full of encounters with God that the most learned people of the day ran the other direction from, because God didn't show up the way they thought he should. And in this day and this hour, we cannot be those people who run away from the move of God. We have to be willing to hang in there and let him confirm this is really him, and have the wisdom and discernment to know when it's not. And so questions or comments or something that you'd like to ask Brother Dan?
You got a question?
Anybody else? Just
you know.
Have a question? Yes, many.
How do you live in it every day? The word drink, when I say drink, what I mean is a tangible connectedness to the Holy Spirit. And, it takes some time to learn to develop the understanding of what your spirit is and what God's spirit is and how that feels when they're connected. That's why for years I would lay on the floor and really wouldn't understand when God was on me and when he wasn't on me. But I'll guarantee you, if you're hungry, he'll reveal when it's him and when it's not. So when I say drink, I'm saying there's a tangible connection. So I drive a semi. You know, I don't know exactly what you do, but it's kind of easy for me while I'm driving the semi to go into worship and make this connection spirit to spirit and still drive the semi. You know, Mike Bickle talks about if you're sitting at a desk 5, 6, 7 times an hour, just consciously stepping back and taking a drink, touching him, embracing him, and that will grow. You know, I think Jesus was always conscious of the connection between him and the Father. And that's what the enemy wants us to tell can't happen because we're too busy. And I'm saying that it can happen if you're willing and if you pursue it. You know, and I want to talk one more thing about fullness. When he said, drink large draughts of the Holy Ghost, a draught, I found out, was the amount of water that it takes to make a ship buoyant. So our drinking can't be in bits. You know, in other words, unless you're buoyant in the river, you can't flow with it. It's impossible to flow in the river when the ship's not off the ground. So our drinking we must teach ourselves to increase the amount that we're constantly drinking until we have that flow, until we find ourselves flowing in the river. It's difficult. I don't do it all the time. The sad part is, you know, I don't want to do it all the time. That's wrong. I mean, he wants to change that in me. That's where the mirror comes in. But what I'm not doing is I'm not waiting for an outpour. You know, when the temple of God, when the fire came down in the temple, in the first tabernacle of God, God sent the fire, but it was the responsibility of the priest from then on to keep it going. We have to take that responsibility on if we're going to have fire.
Yeah, Joel. When you don't want to pray, what do? When you don't want to go into encounter.
Well, you have to be honest with God. Just tell him that. I mean, God, I don't want to do this. You know, I don't want to do this at this moment. You know, I really don't. But God, can you put within me that which will help me? Can you give me a portion of what you want to give me and draw me into that place where I want to be, but don't know how or don't want to? Just be honest with him.
I just wanted to say something kind of on that point too. I think the other thing for me is that sometimes all the time, it's seasonal. There are seasons in my life where I find him early in the morning with my Bible open and my journal open. There are seasons where I find him when I'm on the treadmill and I'm listening to T.D. Jakes. It's, you know, I think for me, it's figuring out where's the river flowing and how do I find where he is for me today? Because it may not be the same thing it was 6 months ago or a year. It's not. It isn't for me. It's changing and shifting and moving. And so sometimes my reluctance is not necessarily my reluctance to connect with God. It's more I'm trying to do it the way I did it a month ago, and it's just not working, and now I'm frustrated, and I don't want to keep trying to do that because I'm not getting anywhere with it.
That's so good. That's good. Yeah.
This picture was just in my mind, and it kind of piggybacked off what Andrew was saying. Like, I was thinking about the fact that so often he's talking about it as a river, and every other body of water can be stagnant. If you look at a sea, it can sit still. If you can look at a bog, a lake, anything else at different points, it's still. But when a river looks peaceful, it's still moving. It's always moving. It's never the same. You never put your foot in the same river, ever. The water is always moving. There's always something different going through it. There's always something different flowing into it. I think it's beautiful that it's how Christ is. I think a lot of times when we don't want to pray, or we don't want to do something, or we don't want to rest on God, it's because we think, oh, okay, I already know what that brings. I remember when I did that before, and it lasted a certain amount of time, or you're living off of just a word that you had 2 years ago. But the honest reality is that God likens himself to that river, because it's literally never the same. It's literally always moving. It's literally always going somewhere. And I just thought that was a pretty, like, a beautiful image. So when she said that, that just kind of came out again. Like, right, I've been thinking about the movement the whole time. I might as well share that.
Yeah. Thanks, Anna. That's so good. Okay, Larry.
You know, it helps me, and to respond to Joel a little bit too, to just meditate on the truth that when God created us, you know, Dan read part of the story of creation, from the very beginning, God created us specifically to walk in fullness every day. Anything other is broken, okay? Anything else is a lie. Anything less is a loss. And absolutely never God's will or intention or design, okay? Now, I know that we all live in a very fallen world, but that does not change how we were created to be. And so we are designed more to be full of the Holy Spirit than not. We are designed to be able to contact God in our very personal ways, of course, with God's help. You know, God came to the garden. They didn't go to heaven to meet God. God came to the garden, if you read that. He walked with them. He came. It was always to be in complete communion every minute of the day with God. Okay? So we need to just change our thinking that, you know, I don't know how early you'd have to get up, but if you leave the house to start your daily obligations before you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to rethink that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't know how Joel does it, but I just get real down to earth. I tell God things he already knows. I really need you, and I really am not full of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously. I'm just holy whining, holy crying, holy complaining. Not that it's his fault, but I really need his grace and mercy. And God just doesn't ever get tired of our whining and desiring for more of him. In fact, that's the first thing he's going to answer. Okay, like we had home group this week, and I just did. I said, okay, I'm in my own 12-step program. You know, I'm just addicted to YouTubes. And right now, if I don't listen to like 13 worship YouTubes before I get out of bed, I'm not worth getting out of bed. You know what I'm saying? If I am not just filling myself, and like I bought this little sweatshirt that's got a little pocket, little zipper here, and I can put my YouTube worship things on like the next one, and like just zip it up and like listen to it even without my earbuds in, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I will have to almost listen to that 24/7 for 3 or 4 days in a row just to kind of get the life of God back into even close to fullness. Probably not fullness, but even back to breaking even, you know what I mean? So first off, you're totally created for nothing other than to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's your design. Anything else is broken and wrong, okay? It's a step back from everything God has called us to, okay? And, of course, Jesus, as he pointed out, was what that looks like to walk in. Now, we have some examples, John G. Lake, and a lot of people who got close to some of those, Todd White, right now. Yeah, you can go on YouTube right now and see what it looks like, okay? And that is God's call. It is not depression. It is not boredom. It is not loneliness. It is not despair. It is not hopelessness. It is not suicide. It's not everything that the other spirits are shoving down our throats. It's more life than, I mean, evangelism, just, can you believe, just walking around in the fullness of the Spirit, you don't have to pray for the gift of evangelism at that point.
Yeah. And one last thing, it has to start with individuals. At the woman at the well, he challenged her, he said, I'll give you water to drink, that's living water, and when you drink it, it will be springs. Jesus actually said it to the corporate, you know, the corporate body of Christ. When at the end of the feast, he was yelling to everybody. It takes individual springs to produce a river. You and I are responsible for doing our part in being a river. And we can't just let somebody else do it.
Amen. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out for the after message of questions and answers. We like to do this from time to time. You're not required to hang out, but I just think it allows the treasures that are lying within the body to come to the surface. So stand with me here. I want to pray over you and bless you and send you on your way to drink and to flow. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for this word and for this time and for this opportunity to be reminded of who you are and who we are, Lord, and what's available to us. Now, Father, we ask as we go today that your river, Lord, will be that which is most important to us, that flowing and connecting and being in that place of fullness of love and grace and mercy and kindness, that place, Lord, where faith is easily grasped onto and your presence, Lord, is paramount. Father, today we ask that as we go, Lord, you would show us, you would teach us how to flow. And Lord, those who don't have that desire but would like to, Lord, that you would grant us that gift of hunger, Lord, that gift of longing today, Lord, that all that is available for us through Christ, Lord, would be our pursuit, Lord, and you graciously would lead us wherever we're at, Lord, in that path, Lord, to the place of fullness that you have for us. We pray that today. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. You're beautiful. Have a great week. We'll see you out at the evening service tonight if you're going to make that. And hopefully talk to you real soon.